So the date today, can you tell me what the date is?
Right, the date today is 11th of June 1998.
And your full name, please?
My name is Margaret Taylor, and I was born on the 15th of June 1937.
And do you know your parents' names and their date of birth, if possible?
My mother's name was Elsie Winifred Brown. She was a Brown, and she was born in 1917 on the 12th of September. My father's, I'm not really sure of his date, but I think it was 1917 the same, and his name was Harry Johnson.
Where were you born, Margaret?
I was born in Liverpool, in a private hospital in Liverpool, which was virtually an old house, and I was delivered by a Dr. Peary.
Could you tell me your husband's full name and date of birth?
His name is Robert James Taylor, and he was born on the 21st of February 1934.
Jean?
Yes.
Can I get your full name and date of birth and place, please?
Yeah, my name is Jean Dees, and I was born in Scotland on the 16th of November 1937. My mother was born Sarah Dougal, and she was born in 1905 on the 21st of November. And my father, his name was Peter Smith, and he was born on the 17th of December in 1902.
Okay. Jean, when did you first come to Green Valley? Tell me the
streets. Yes, we came to Busby and number 7 Kilmorey Street, and I'm still there. And that was when we came there, it was 1964, it would have been.
What type of house was it?
It was the weatherboard, 3-bedroom house. Oh, it was a dreadful pink. Which a lot of them wear. It was a strange pinky colour.
What were your first feelings about Green Valley on arrival?
Oh, well, getting a house was just so wonderful. Like, I lived at Hurstville before that in a converted garage behind the house. And I'd been shopping and I came and I found the letter in the letterbox. And I kept racing around the back to tell my husband we got the house. And their landlady, she was a Jehovah's Witness, and she had all these people sitting out the back, and I was so embarrassed. But I just couldn't help it. I just was so elated to find that letter that we had a house in Green Valley. It was wonderful.
Did you buy or rent, or what was the situation
then? Yes, we were buying, yes.
Could you tell me how much the house was? And
well, I can't recall the deposit, but our rent, our monthly payments was $37, or it was £4.50 a month, a week, sorry.
And have you paid the house off yet?
Yes, I have.
Can you tell me when that happened? Right.
Well, it only happened about 2 years ago, because I went to get a loan, and I had to have the house paid off, and there was only about $3,000-something on it to pay, so I paid that off.
So, Margaret, can I ask when you first moved to Green Valley?
We came in 1964. We were the first. Our house and the three either side were the last to be built in Sadlier, and I believe ours were used as storage houses, you know, for stoves and sinks and so forth. And I believe in those days they were broken into a lot as well. We, like Jean, it was just wonderful to have this house, you know, a house of our own, an actual house. And I remember coming out, and I actually didn't know how many rooms. I was busy measuring curtains. I mean, I didn't have any curtains, but I was measuring for them. But it was a wonderful thing to have a house. And, of course, it was only £5 something a week rent. It was wonderful.
So did you originally rent or buy?
We originally rent, but we own it now. We bought it nearly 5 years ago. We tried at least, I think it was 4 times to buy it, but over the years they stopped selling them. Then there was, they said this was zoned for flat area, which I thought was quite strange back then. But it's not strange today, because the houses behind me, the 5 of them, are destined to be pulled down and villas put there. So it was very planned way back then that eventually houses would be pulled down and flats and so forth put on.
So your address and the type of house you live in.
Right, it's 115 Cartwright Avenue, Sadlier, which is on the main road, as you may well hear, and it is a fibro.
Okay. I might get back to you, Jean and Margaret. Jean, can you talk about your employment with the post office? Can you tell me initially when you got the job, perhaps?
Yes, I could tell you that. I was looking for work at the time, towards the end of 65, and they were building the post office down at Miller, and the builders needed a cleaner, so when my husband, he was a postman, and he said I would do it, so I went down there and I cleaned up after the builders, like cleaning the cement and whatever, that sort of thing, inside, not outside. And then the lady who did the cleaning in the agency, which was in the shopping centre, she couldn't do the post office because it was too big. So I put my name down for the job and I got it. So, and I worked there for 29 years, so doing the cleaning.
Did it close in 29 years or you'd left?
No, I left and it closed, 2 years after that? Yeah.
So can you describe the post office? Well, actually, I'll come back to Margaret. Margaret, can you tell me when you started working at the post office?
Well, I started at Christmas time in years gone by. What they used to do each Christmas, they would hire extra staff. Each postman would have a helper helping him, and also the counter staff would have extra casuals come in. And it was a Mrs. Barbara Kane, who was well known in our parish and so forth, who used to work there, who got me the job as a part-time at Christmas time. Then after that, I think the cleaner went on holidays, so I did her job. So eventually I sort of worked in that way, you know, when somebody went on holidays, and gradually there came a spot and I was able to take it on.
So, Jim, what did the post office initially look like when you started? What street was it in and the address of it?
Yes, well, it was 16 Woodward Crescent, and it was across the road from the back of the shopping centre. And it's right next door to the doctor's surgeries there, and across the alleyway from the library. But it was quite a big building, very high inside. But it was like a big floor area, both the front public area plus at the back where the postman used to work. And they had a large kitchen area for meal times and things like that. But,
how many staff did they have, initially?
They had six postmen, initially.
Each suddenly?
Well, virtually, yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, all the houses hadn't been built at that stage then, but, you know, mainly, I think from Ashcroft up a bit, there was quite a few houses, but up the top area, it hadn't been completed. But there were six postmen for the area, and they all had pushbikes. They didn't have motorbikes then. And
they did two runs.
Speak up, yeah.
They did two runs in those days too, a morning delivery and an afternoon delivery.
That's right. Had a break in the middle of the day. But,
what did they wear?
They wore a grey, you know, like King G shorts, that grey, and they had grey shirts with PNG written on it then, because it wasn't Australia Post then, it was, you know, the other thing. And they wore the long grey socks and the black shoes.
Okay, so there were two runs a day. Can you talk to me about your role and as a cleaner?
My husband used to be a postman there. He came from Liverpool, but we worked there, and he came there. And I used to come to work with him, and I'd do the front office first, because that was the main place, the public space. And I'd clean the floors, and there was no carpet then. I had to sort of wash it, sweep it and then wash it and then let it dry and then polish it up sort of thing. And then do the counters and the furniture and all that sort of thing. Clean the front doors, the fingerprints and all that sort of thing. And just general housework, virtually. And then after that was finished, I'd do the back rooms, like around the postman, around the mail tables and all that sort of thing, and the toilets and the kitchen area and all that sort of thing.
What did you wear?
I wore a dreadful green uniform that was a wraparound style, and it was very hot in the summer. But then that was later, I asked for better uniforms. I asked for something like the counter staff used to wear, but they didn't, so I started buying my own.
And what were you earning when you first got the job? What?
I don't remember.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't remember that. I can't even guess.
Who ran the post office?
In the shopping centre, there was the postmaster. It was Arthur Lorimer, who used to play football for Balmain. Yes. And he was a very nice man. And he came across to the new building from there. And there was Dennis Spain and Lois Reeves. They were the counter staff and the six postmen.
Did everyone live locally?
No, not all of them, I don't think. Most of the postmen did. In fact, I think all of the postmen did. But I don't know about the counter staff. I don't know where Lois Reeves lived or Dennis Spain. I don't think they lived locally.
What were the name of? Do you remember the names of some of the postmen and periods? Perhaps
I've got the names of the all the postmen.
Okay, Margaret, I might get. So what did you do there?
I did counter duties, you know, selling on the counter, you know, stamps and so forth like that.
What was the volume of work like in postage coming to the valley?
It was quite busy. It was quite busy. You know, it was, in those days, people used to come in. We used to be open Saturday mornings. So people used to come in, of course, and pay all their bills, you know, on a Saturday. And, of course, most of everything in those days you'd have on high purchase. You know, you got your furniture and all this sort of thing.
The bills, like the types of bills? Like
yeah.
The types
yeah.
Of, yeah.
Well, cars, of course, you know, was a thing. And some people would come in and they'd be buying 3 and 4 money orders and you'd think, oh, all their money's gone, you know, because they have all these different accounts for furniture or whatever it may be, you know. But it was a good time. Everybody was friendly. Everybody, the staff in the post office was like one big family. If you had a problem, they had a problem. You know, it was really very close, very close.
Okay. I'll just go over this bill first. And can you talk about the procedure? Like, so when you talk about bill, how did they? What were your? You were responsible to implement, to organise what payments?
No, they came in, and mostly in those days, you had a payment book, so they would come in and buy money orders in those days, or postal notes, which was something. Postal note was something that looked like a check, and it came in all different denominations. You know, $10, whatever. And some would send those away, but mostly it was money orders. And because a lot of people worked, or they had to go to work, Saturday morning was their only way that they could come in and buy those. So virtually there was always a queue to buy money orders on a Saturday morning. So it was quite, and we used to close at 12, and it was quite busy. It was full on that whole time.
When you say they had to pay for their cars or whatever, like what do you mean by that? Like, you're going to bank now, and you pay your electricity bill or whatever.
Yes.
So what sort of things, services did you provide?
Well, virtually it would probably be only the phone bill in those days. There was nothing like you can today. I mean, you just go in one stop and you pay everything. You know, you take your land rates, your insurances, everything into the post office. You just take all your bills in and they're all paid in one hit. But in those days, virtually it was sort of just the phone bill. And if you wanted to send money away or pay something else, you bought a money order and sent it away. Or you posted, if you had a cheque account, you posted your cheque. So you virtually still had to come into the post office to buy a stamp. Also, another service we did have was we used to pay the child endowment. All the women used to have a little booklet, and you would come in and you would get a stub torn out. And, of course, everybody would queue up on those specific days. I think it was a Tuesday, once a month on a Tuesday, I think it was. And, of course, there'd be long queues also for that. And, of course, the amount, when you look back today, was a ridiculous amount, I think, of £2. But, of course, then it was a lot of money. And not many people had a lot of money in those days here. So the queues, you know, as soon as the doors opened, the queue was there. And that was endowment day. But, of course, now it's all paid by cheque, and you really don't know, and it's staggered also. So payments come out all different times, different days of the week and fortnight sort of thing. But they were very interesting days to see how, you know, other people lived and what they needed. But it was very interesting.
Remember when they used to come in for the cheques, and if it didn't turn up, the postman hadn't delivered it? Used to come in and say, "Where's my cheque?"
Yes, later on when they stopped the endowment being paid over the counter, everything was the Social Security in those days, they would send the cheques out. And of course there'd be some people that would be really waiting on the cheques, probably not for the right reasons, like food and so forth, more so cigarettes. And we used to, and it was quite hard sometimes when we'd see somebody come in and the cigarette would be in the hand, and because the cheque wasn't there, we would be abused and says, "Oh, you don't care that my child's got nothing to eat." And we had, or we could not say, "But dear, you are able to buy your cigarettes, aren't you?"
Can you talk a bit more about that?
Mm.
Was that a common problem?
No, not really. No, just characters that, yes, you know, possibly...
But sometimes, if their cheque didn't come in the mail to Miller Post Office, there was nothing you could do about it. It had come from Liverpool or wherever. But if it didn't arrive at the post office, the postman couldn't deliver it.
Mm.
And if he didn't deliver it, well, there'd be a big ruckus down at the counter.
I mean, it's part of life today that, you know, some people depend on it. There's probably a lot of bad money managers, you know, that all their life they will never be able to budget or manage their money. It'll go, as soon as they get it, it will go. Whether it goes on the right things or not is a different story. But they were characters, but they were good characters. There was no real animosity, was there? There was no people coming in and abusing you and going into these rages like they do today, or... You know, we never, in the whole, I was there 25 years, and I only had one man came in and abused me, and he used the F word at me. And I thought the chap that was on the counter at the time should have stepped in, but he didn't. But anyway, he sort of calmed down after a while. But that was, in 25 years, I was only ever abused verbally like that once. So I think that's pretty good.
And another thing, like, I don't think in all the time that you were there, I don't think there was any hold-ups.
No, I was never involved.
Was never a
hold-up. No. We had plenty of scares. As the years got on, you know, when these things were occurring, hold-ups and so forth, we did have a couple of scares where three young chaps came in and were sort of what we'd say casing the joint, because they were asking questions that they should have known. And I thought, oh, this is it. And his stomach's on the floor. We thought, what do I do? But anyway, it didn't happen. But that was in the early days when hold-ups first started to, I think the drug scene started to happen, you know. But all told, there was a hold-up, two hold-ups there, but unfortunately, I was on holidays both times.
Fella came in with a knife, and an Asian girl was on the counter. I don't think you were there that day.
No.
And he pointed the knife at her, and she just jumped back, you know. But I don't think he got anything, because the post manager came out and we had a garden.
But people were very friendly. People, even the young chaps, always, they were very respectful to me, and even today, I mean, those boys are in their 40s now, and they always say, "Hello, Margaret, how are you?" They've never, ever had any trouble from any of the young ones, you know, and they're thorough gentlemen compared, you know, to some of the ones today, you know, I mean, they'd say, because a lot of them used to come in, want their checks early or whatever, you know, but they were, you know, they were still gentlemen, you know, even though they had their problems, they were still gentlemen.
So, Jen, you've got a list there. Can you talk about who actually...
Yes.
What did I ask you who ran the post office?
No, who the hermit, who, the postman.
Six postmen.
Yes. There was Ron Shooter, who lived in
Shropshire Street.
And Bill Rayner, who lived in Kilmorey Street. Andy Dees, who was my husband at the time, and he lived in Kilmorey Street. And Norm Sterling, who lived in Pickenburg, and Norm Sterling's son, who is the same name, he worked there as well, and a fellow called Cliff Kirkman, that was the sixth postman at the time.
They were the original postmen.
They were the original.
But those, there's four of those gone now?
The first five came, they worked at Liverpool while this one was being built, and the other one, I don't know where he came from, but he came in and he was the postman in charge at the time.
Who was that person again?
Cliff Kirkman. And he lived up in Wendery Street or somewhere out there.
So it sounds like a good atmosphere. Can you talk a bit about
It was a good atmosphere.
Why do you think that was?
Well, I think too, because everybody socialised together as well.
What did you do socially?
Like, we used to have picnic days and we'd go to like the children's picnic days, and we'd go to Warwick Farm Racecourse, and they'd have their picnics there, you know, and everybody would go, and the kids would all join together, and they'd have races, and like everybody was just really friendly, and everybody, it was just like, as Margaret said before, just one big happy family, and the counter staff and all that.
But too, they were older, we were all the same age, there was not... you know, a chap in his 60s or something, and then an 18-year-old. We're all sort of the same age.
Yes, and we all had children about the same age.
Mm.
Okay, can we talk just briefly about how many children have you got?
I have two children.
Can you tell me their names and dates of birth?
Yes, my son Andrew Deeds, and his date of birth is the 31st of October 1959. And my daughter, Linda Dees, and her date of birth is the 25th of February, 1964.
And Margaret, I might ask you about your children.
I have three. My eldest, Debbie, she was born on the 16th of December, 1960. And then I have Mark, who was born on the 11th of January, 1964. No, sorry, 63, I'll be in stride. And we have Vicky, who was born on the 21st of August, 1966.
So the kids, when you talk to me about when you started going to these things arise?
Yeah, well, my kids used
to love it, didn't they?
Yes, they did. Mm. They loved all that sort of thing. And, like, I haven't got any here today, but, like, we used to have, we have some photos, like, and my daughter remembers, like, the people, the old postmen. I mean, most of the postmen are gone now. But,
You mean they've died?
Or yes.
Yes, for at least three of them. Four of them have, sort of thing.
But I think, too, everybody was in the same boat financially.
Yes.
Nobody was higher, you know, that most of us didn't have a car when we first come in here.
Right.
Most of us didn't have floor coverings on the floor when we come here. Most of us, it was 12 months before you got lino on the floor. I can remember every Saturday morning with the old sand soap, getting down with a scrubbing brush and scrubbing the floorboards. Well, today's people, you know, young ones of today, they go into a house now, mainly because it's on a slab, so they do have to have carpet to start with. But they have the Venetian blinds up, they have everything there. because it's a day you've got a key card, you can just go and get a piece of furniture on your card, or, you know, your bank card. Well, of course, that's when the old Waltons come in very handy.
So can we talk a little bit, I'm interested in Waltons, we'll get back to the post office, mm-hmm. maybe talk about how they used to run their procedures and maybe like how they preyed on Green Valley, perhaps. Yes. Your views of Waltons?
Well, it probably worked both ways. They probably did prey on us in that sense, but we also needed them.
Yeah, it was the only store like that,
and it was so easy to add on. Remember add on? Yeah. What they used to have the account. Oh, yes, you can get some credit. And because what used to happen, say you owed $50 or whatever, and then you added something on. But that $50 would be included in the new amount and you would be charged interest on the whole, although you'd already been charged interest on the $50. You know, this was their way, but we pretended, I think, that never happened, didn't we? We sort of...
Well, I can't tell you about that because my husband wouldn't let me do that.
Mm.
Like, he liked to pay cash for everything that we had, so that was it, you know, because he didn't like time payment and, like, he just... I just had to wait until we had the cash.
Mm. But I would say 95% of Green Valley was furnished by Waltons.
Yes.
It definitely was. Mm. I mean, they were very good to do business with. You know, as I said, it worked both ways. They got a good share. And that's why we can't understand how they went bad or bankrupt.
They used to have the fella come round the doors.
Oh, yes. Mm. Yeah. He'd collect the money and then he'd say, oh, look, we got this on special.
The one that I knew was a nice man.
They were all very nice travellers. I mean, that's what they did. They were salesmen, you know. But then...
How did you pay for it? Did they come... Was it a regular...
Yeah, every Friday morning he would come and collect the money every Friday morning. And then he'd try and sell you something else because he'd get a commission. And if you were silly enough, like most of us were, we'd end up buying something. But...
How did you exchange? Did you have a book or cash? Or how did
your little payment book.
So tell me about once they arrived on the door and describe that from there.
Yeah, they were very friendly, weren't they? You know, in those days, we never asked them in. It was always, I never asked them in. It was always on the front doorstep. He just took the money. You know, he'd say, how are you today, Mrs. Taylor? And it was never on even first name basis. You know, it was still Mrs. Taylor. And is there anything you need, you know? And we'd say no, and then all of a sudden there might be something popping up you wanted. But they were always very very nice. The travellers were always very nice. They weren't high pressure.
Well, I don't think they were high pressure. I know the one that used to come in Earl Street because they came to some of my neighbours.
Mm.
But I knew him through my son's soccer club because he used to play soccer, and this fella was involved with the soccer as well, and that's the only way I knew him. I don't believe that. I mean, everybody was happy with what they were doing with the time payment. Except my husband, he wouldn't let me.
What did you buy from Waltons originally? What was your first thing?
Mine, I think, was... It was like a package. You bought the lounge, the dining room suite together, you know, the packages that you see today. And I can remember getting... Because it was the first brand-new lounge I'd ever had. And also the dining room suite was the first brand new dining room suite because we all had the old formica tables and chairs, which were second hand. Most of us, when we arrived here, only had second hand furniture. You know, I had a new bedroom suite. We built that just after we were married. But everybody had second hand furniture. You'd get it and you'd paint it up and you'd think it was lovely. And we were quite happy with that. We were quite happy, but it was also exciting when you did buy something new because you'd tell your neighbours, and it was so exciting when the Waltons truck pulled up out the front and you got this lovely new furniture. And it's sad today when people can just go in and buy furniture and it doesn't mean anything. There's no excitement in buying it anymore because we used to have to wait till you could afford the repayments or whatever. But today, people can just go in and buy a large piece of furniture on their bank card, and it just seems an acceptable thing. Whereas you couldn't sleep for days, could you? You were so excited that you were going to get this delivery, you know. Even when you had a lay-by, you know, you'd lay by something, clothes or something for the kiddies, all the neighbours would be down to have a look to see what you got, You know, but today you can just go in and buy things, and I think, you know, over the years we've lost a lot of that sort of thing, you know, the excitement of waiting and buying things. It's so easy today. The money's there.
Can I ask how, like, how long it took you to pay your walls off? Like,
Well, you never actually ever paid it off because you just kept adding on. But there was there did come a time when I just, you know, when we were earning more money, we just stopped, you know, actually getting things on Waltons, because over the years other stores had opened up and it had these discount shops and so forth. So you virtually shopped around then because you had the money to shop around. Whereas when we first come here, we didn't. We had to rely on Waltons and they had to rely on us. When I first came here, I was the first one here. We moved in the week before Easter and the other three houses moved in Easter weekend. And, I, of course, I belong to the Catholic Church, which is next door but one. I went to Mass on the Sunday and Father said that the Ladies Auxiliary was going to have an Easter bonnet parade. And I said to my husband, I think I'll go around just to see what it's like. Well, to this day, I thank God that I did, because that opened up friendships that have, you know, been made and are still there today. And it was very close. It's a very close community. And I think if I needed help, I could have 10 people on my front doorstep within about 10 minutes. Because the grapevine is very, very good. And those friendships have lasted right through. A few people have moved away, but the originals are still here. And they're still very close and very caring. And none of us had anything when we first come here. We were all the same, weren't we?
Yes, we were.
You panic when you got a light bill.
Where were you living before here?
I was living in like a converted garage.
The same as me.
What suburb?
That was in Reevesby.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in Tower Street, Reevesby. But it was, this was yours, you know, even though, and people had a stigma even then about housing commission houses. Well, I mean, I thank God for the housing commission. I wouldn't have had a house.
It used to be called Dodge City in the beginning, which wasn't very nice, but like that sort of went.
I think people put a stigma on because you were at housing commission,
yes.
But we would never have had a home only for the housing commission. You know, it's even today I think, oh, I live in housing commission house, you know. It's what you make it yourself. I mean, people think because you live in a housing commission house that you've got a dump or you don't care about it or whatever.
Jean, tell me about your feelings about the community here and your networks.
Well, I mean, I'm not as well known as Margaret. I mean, everybody knew Margaret, like, because she worked at the counter, but if I tell people that I worked at the post office, oh, I don't remember you. And I said, that's probably because I was out the back most of the time, you know. But, like, the people I have met, you know, like, I get on well with most people. And all my neighbours, I mean, there's still a few of us originals up there. And, like, we're all just like a family too, you know. And, like, we also, I mean, I still go to the movies with one of my neighbours. And I still go across the road for a cup of coffee to my other neighbours and different things like that. You know? I mean, there's been a lot of people moved from my street, and there's new ones, and I couldn't even tell you what the names are. But the old ones, like, I know them, and it's sort of just like family. Because all our children went to the same school and everything. You know, and
where did your kids
together.
Go to school?
Both went to, my son started at Busby Primary, but then when it was rezoned, he went to Busby West. My daughter went to Busby West, and they both went to Busby High School.
Mine went to St. Teresa's, and then they went to St. Mary's and the Patrician Brothers.
Yes, I have a photo here that Margaret will remember. It was her birthday, and she's showing off her presents.
When was that?
One of her birthdays.
That's another thing.
Very nice purple shoes, Mark.
Oh, they're beautiful. Really beautiful. They did a lot of walking those shoes. Birthdays were wonderful when I went to work because, you know, you had little cakes and you know, it was a birthday cake there. It was really, as I said, it was just like one big family, you know.
And remember Christmas, we used to push the mail, the postman's tables back, and we'd have our stereo in there and they'd be playing music and we'd have a big party at Christmas time.
After work, of course. After work, of course.
And we used to dress up.
Yes, dress up, yeah.
Did you have it in the workplace?
Yes, at the back,
so
you know.
Describe a
well, it was very big area, and like at the time, at the time there was only, like, not very many. They were adding to the staff. There might have been about 12 or 10 or 12 postmen then after a while. And then we'd just all get together at Christmas time after work. Like, we'd go home, get dressed, and come back. And we had a wonderful time.
Mm.
And, like, there'd be
what
music.
Did you eat and drink? Yeah. Like, well, tell me about some of the food.
Well,
I think we used to, didn't we? We'd go out and buy, didn't we?
Yes.
The food, and we'd get it ready. Yeah. Jean and I'd get it ready, sort of thing. Snacks and things, and then. And then we might go out and get order Chinese and somebody would go and pick it up.
Yes.
And then the drinks, we'd have the drinks, you know.
And like we'd have a big crate thing with the ice in it and all the drinks, you know.
No, that used to be really good.
And like we used to dance and
except when somebody filled my glass up with Southern Comfort, that wasn't a real good night.
No.
It was not a good night.
Sick that night.
I was, the funniest thing would have, if you had had a camera, Therese, was probably watching Bobby trying to undress me that night, because in those days we wore the long frocks.
Yes, we wore long dresses.
You know, the long dresses. It was in the 70s. It would have been the 70s. Mm-hmm. And he was trying to undress me and he said, all I kept saying, I just kept flopping back all the time. So I've never drunk Southern Comfort since.
The camaraderie was just so great. And like the postmen all brought the wives and the ladies who worked there would bring the husbands and everything. It was just so good.
What about the humour? There's something about the humour.
There's the jokes. Yeah. You couldn't... the men that were there, one was Jimmy Evans. Jimmy Evans, you know, he's a wonderful chap. There was Peter Sloman. And their humour was fantastic, wasn't it? You know?
Definitely.
And it was just humorous all day. You know, there was jokes flying. No, there never was. No, there was no backbiting. You know, there was no... And we only noticed that in later years, didn't we?
Yes,
when
a
different...
There's too much stress, I think, and people are so serious. And, like, they can't smile. You know, like, for some reason it's terrible.
But the younger ones, I don't think... I mean, I can't say this about all young ones. They didn't have... To me, a customer comes first. If there's a customer to be served, the customer is served. You don't have a private conversation on the telephone while there's customers waiting. And I think it lost a lot when people had to queue up. And even the customers said, oh, it's not the same friendly place anymore. But, you know, in today's society, you queue up everywhere. You queue up in banks. You queue up everywhere. And I do think it lost a lot of the personal, didn't it, Jean?
It did.
People said, oh, it's not the friendly. You say, of course it got busier.
When did you feel that change taking place?
When the queue, when you started to queue. And
the post office took on a lot more.
Yes.
It was just stamps and parcels and money orders and that.
Yeah.
It took on a lot more. Like, you could pay this there and insurance and rates and things there. And it got more and more into it, didn't it?
And people... got niggledy when they had to queue up and wait. Oh, you know, you could hear them.
You would hear them muttering.
Yeah, and it's sort of lost. And so you were aware of that.
What time of the year? How long ago did you notice the change?
Well, it was probably 10 years. Ten years ago.
Yeah. And do you think that combined when they started taking on more responsibilities?
I think so.
Yeah. People got stressed out more. Some people didn't think pull their weight like they should. You know, they seem to be walking around with a piece of paper more often than what they...
One of the common phrases got to be, that's not my job, which was ridiculous, because in the old days, everybody pulled together.
Mm.
If that person whose job it might have been couldn't manage to do it on time, somebody else would step in and do it without worrying about it. They'd just
if it was
it.
My job or not.
Teamwork, mm. That's right.
It was teamwork. Mm.
Yes.
No, it was good days.
Yes. So talk about the closure. What happened around the time the post office started closing, thinking about dates too here?
Yeah, I think it got very stressful, didn't it, in the end, before the big one closed.
And also
younger people, like when we started, as I said, they were all, you know, they would have been in their late 30s, we would have been, when we started.
And we all grew old together.
Yeah. But then we were all there all the time. Mm. The same staff was there all the time.
Yes.
Whereas as it got bigger and busier, you would get a lot of staff coming just for a day, a week or so, you know.
Mm.
And they used to change the staff around a lot.
And the postman, we ended up with 14 postmen, like opposed to the 6 that was there originally.
Mm.
So, I mean, as
everything was getting busier.
And Hinchinbrook was added on.
Mm.
There had to be more postmen.
Mm.
And then they did the runs on motorbikes instead of push bikes.
When the post office took over the responsibility of Hinchinbrook?
Yes, all those outlying.
About a decade ago.
It wouldn't be quite a decade for Hinchinbrook. Because I've been retired nearly 6 years, and it was, yes, it would be possibly, Therese, about 10 years ago.
Yes.
So it was more the issues of how Australia Post were managing.
They were changing completely.
Australia Post was changing.
Changing completely.
All over the place, not just here.
You know, you got caught like corporate uniforms, which we'd never had.
Yes.
A totally different image, you know, but it wasn't the same. It didn't seem the same. The service wasn't the same. People didn't seem to care about service. I mean, there was some. I can't say all of them, but others. I mean, you could stand in front of somebody, and if they were doing book work, they just kept doing their book work, and you just waited. Well, to me, that's wrong. It should be the customer comes.
Yeah.
You do your book work after when there's nobody there.
Right.
But their way of thinking, see, this is their way of thinking. Everything is done to a timetable. You know, you have to have balance by this, you have to do this by this, you know. But this is in every area, so it's not just...
You're
just like
and it's
machines.
Because, I mean, it's the same in shops as well.
Mm.
Like, not just post office.
Yes, I mean, if you want service, you know, to ask about something, you've got to go and look for somebody.
That's right.
You know, they're just not there. But they were good days. I can't say you were ever stressed out.
No.
It was only in the latter years that...
It was a joy to come to work.
It was.
Most of the postmen, the new postmen that we got when we ended up with 14, they were all sort of in the younger age bracket. And, like, they're pretty good fun. Some were a bit serious, but, like, a couple of them were really fun. To work with, you know, they were good fun. They always made you laugh and everything. And, like, aside from my cleaning duties, there'd always be somebody, oh, Jean, can you just go up the shop for me and get me some chips or something? Because if they had a heavy meal, they wouldn't be able to have a break for lunch, so they'd have to have something, you know, while they were working. So that was another bit that I used to do, is run up the shops for them. Sort of thing, yeah. But they were good fun, most of them.
So what happened to the post office? Can you talk about
It went private. It was franchised out. Wasn't it franchised out?
Well, see, I left in October 94. And it must have been about 2 years after that it closed down altogether, because all the postmen had gone. They had gone to the mail delivery centre down at Hoxton Park Road, sort of at Preston.
Mm.
And as a result, there was only myself and the counter staff.
Mm. So you didn't warrant such a large building?
And see, I mean, I was on full time, and I only had virtually about 2 hours' work to do because I didn't have to keep cleaning up after the postman. And I was glad to get out, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, and see Margaret had gone and and quite a few of the others that from the old school had gone, and there were all new ones coming in all the time, and there were strangers to the place and strangers to me and everything, so I was glad to finish up, yeah.
So we might just move on and talk about what you got involved in after the post office, or even prior to that.
Well, I...
can you talk about your secretarial role? Tell me what that's about.
Secretarial role, yeah. Well, after I was going to do all sorts of things when I left work, you know, all the things you were going to do, and I got sick. Never sick in my life, never. Anyway, and I ended up gall trouble and so forth, which put me behind for a little while. But then I came back fighting, and I was talked into coming on the committee for the 50 plus club, which is down at Liverpool Catholic Club. And I said, oh yes, I'll go on the committee. So I went to a meeting, and I come out of the meeting the secretary. Something went wrong. I don't know what went wrong, but I come out as a secretary. So I quite enjoy that. A lovely lot of ladies and people that belong to it.
Can you tell me some of their names, perhaps?
Yes. Well, our president is Judy Berryman. And then we have Bella Healy as our treasurer. We have Val Johns as our publicity officer. We have Maureen Philpott as our trip organiser. We have Elsie Mallett as our organiser. Oh, and I forgot our two vice presidents, which is Fred Becker and Shirley Fraser. Then we had two other committee members, which is Barbara Sinclair and Helen Burns. But we all get on well together, and lots of fun there. We have different nights out. We have just had a Roaring Twenties night, and that was excellent. We go once a month, we go out on our bus trips to different places, and people enjoy that, especially those on their own who go to places they normally couldn't get to and wouldn't go to. They just enjoyed a week away up at Tweed Heads too. There was 43 of them.
So Jean, you're a member of this club?
I'm a member of the club, yes.
Are you a widow or
single? No, divorced.
You're divorced, so you're
long time.
Long time. So you fall into this category of...
I do.
Over 50 and single?
Yes. Yes, and it was great, you know, like, to join. So, I mean, some people say, actually, I rang my ex-husband this morning to see if he could remember all the people who worked, because he worked in originally. So, and I was telling him that I had just had a week away last month with the 50-plus club. He says, what, with all the old fogies? No, they're not all old fogies.
The funny part about is the young ones think we're on something. Because we have such a good time. We really do. The same as the walkers.
Yes.
I mean, in the walking club, which I belong to, from the Green Valley Walking Club, we're up the back of the bus and we're called the ferals. You know, but we have such a wonderful time. And I think this time of our life, in our 60s, they said life begins at 40, but it doesn't. It begins at 60. Because you can say what you want.
Right.
You don't have any hang-ups, and you've earned this time. You really have earned this time. And there's so much you can do. There's about 120. And it varies. It builds, and then it goes down, and it builds again, you know. But the ones that do belong to it thoroughly enjoy it.
How long has it been running, Margaret?
6 years. 6 years. 6 years, I think, yeah. This is our sixth birthday party.
I joined, I think it had been going for about a year.
Might be a little bit more than six, seven, closer to seven.
I joined, and it was a totally different committee. And there's just a few people had joined, but the committee then weren't very good. They used to squabble amongst themselves, and a lot of people drifted away because of that. But then they organised this, some of the committee members left then too, and like they organised this new committee. And how long have you been all doing?
Nearly 3 years.
And they're great. And everything runs so smoothly.
How do you make your decision? What do you do? How does it run then?
Well, the committee have a meeting the first Saturday of every month. And we're responsible for coming up with trips away, you know, monthly trips. And of course, you've got to come up with new ideas to stimulate them all the time, you know, so which is quite hard sometimes. But we vary. We get a lot of guest speakers. We've just had Jan Adele come to our meeting. And she was fun. You know, she was really good. We've had Father Chris O'Reilly. He was wonderful. He was, you know, gave us an insight into the work that he does. You know, we try and vary it and cover, you know, a wide area of different activities and things like that. But they all enjoy it. Then on the first Monday of every month, we have a little afternoon down at the Catholic Club, which could be bingo or something like that, you know. But we've built our Mondays, which used to be around about 15 when we first took over. We're up to nearly 40 now of a Monday, which is very good, you know, because, I mean, some of them, a lot of them still work. You know, we're not all retirees.
Now, Margaret, there's a lot of craft around this house. Do you want to talk a bit about what that is about?
Well, I love all that sort of thing, you know. I helped organise a craft day. What happened, the walking club, there was the ferals up the back, as we referred to, different ones. I'd make something or somebody else would make something, and somebody would say, oh, wish I could do that. I can't do anything like that. And I always maintain anybody can do anything if they're shown. So we said, oh, what say we get together and do some craft? You know, somebody shows one crocheting, another one can show something else. And that's what we did. And we approached Father, and because of the club rooms around the back of the church, we thought we could hire one of those out, in which he gave us permission. And so we have 20 members, which has been going for 3 years. And it still amazes me that we're still doing it. And the women have made such lovely things and been able to do things which some of them would never in their wildest dreams or their families believe that they could have done. And when they've been given presents at Christmas time and Mum said, look, I made that. Oh, don't be so silly, Mum, you couldn't do that. And just things, and it's also for people who are by themselves who've lost their husbands. You know, and they come and it's a good, we talk about from politics to sex and then back to sex to politics, you know. We cover the whole lot sort of thing. But it's a good unwinding. At the moment we're into fur teddy bears, so everybody's got fur teddy bears everywhere.
Tell me the sort of stuff you've made, some of the things.
Oh, well, we started off with crocheting. Some people could never crochet. And we've done topi trees. We've done photo frames. We've done... You name it, we've sort of covered it with a craft, you know. But the big thing at the moment is fur teddy bears. So everybody's getting fur teddy bears.
But Margaret herself has always been a very talented lady. I remember when she first started, what was it you were doing? Painting plates.
China painting.
That's when she first started all of it. I mean, she probably could do other things before then, but this is when it virtually took hold. China painting, tile painting.
Porcelain dolls.
She can make lots and lots of things.
I look at something and I'm very fortunate I can sort of copy it. You know, I can look and think, oh, I could do that. And then I'm a jack of all trades but master of none, a sort of thing, you know. I like to be able to know how to do it all. But then after I've done it, I know how to do that. So then it fizzles out, so we go to something else. But I like all that sort
Very
of thing.
Talented.
I like that sort of thing.
So, Jean, how do you feel about Green Valley over the years? And there's been a lot of recent change.
Yes, I'm still happy to live here. Don't get me wrong, like that's it, you know. And at the moment, I have no reason to leave. I have friends here, and I'm quite happy with my little house. You know, it's good, you know. But like I said before, quite a few of my neighbours from our street have left, and new ones have moved in, and I don't even know their names. I couldn't tell you their names. I hardly ever see them.
What do you think about the original people from Green Valley? What captured the community? What are some of the words and feelings you have about the community?
Well, like, it was very friendly in the beginning. Like, all her neighbours, we all sort of moved in around about the same time as we did here with Margaret, and like you got to know the people almost instantly, and the children all went to the same school. And coming down to the shopping centre, you'd meet people who were the same as well, like the same boat as you, and like you'd see the same faces regularly, and it was good. And it was a smaller shopping centre then because they have extended it quite a lot. But yeah, the mainstays were Woolworths and Franklin's, and like you'd see the same people at the shops each day when you came down, and everybody was generally friendly, and it was good.
The people respected other people's property too, didn't they? They
did.
You know, and people were more caring. The people today don't seem to have, a lot of them don't have the values that we had. You know, you respect other people's property. You know, you chat somebody now for bad language or something, and really you're not game to chat anybody. I mean, years ago you could say, look, do you mind not using that? And they'd say, oh, I'm sorry. But today you just get an extra mouthful, you know. But I don't know where it's all gone wrong. I really don't. But I like it here. I mean, we only bought the house nearly 5 years ago, and somebody said to me, oh, you're silly. Where are you going to move to, you know? I said, I love it here because all my friends are here. You know, this is where the kids all grew up. This is where it all happened. This is where you had your good life. You know, I mean, there were struggles in the beginning, but, you know, what we've got now, I'm happy with what we've got. And, I mean, I've got lovely neighbours. I've got Vietnamese next door, and they're beautiful people. Really lovely people. And I've got neighbours on the other side, and you don't even know they're there. You know, so, you know, why would you move to somewhere where you could end up with, you know, somebody that never talks to you or whatever, and your friends, you've got no friends, you've got to make new friends. And people are very wary of making friends with neighbours. You know, people, you know, I've asked different ones when they've moved, what's your neighbours like? Oh, I haven't even never spoken to them, and they could have lived there for 2 years. Well, see, when we first come here, none of us had anything, and you were all sort of the same, you know? It was...
So what do you see a future? What do you see ahead? What are you going to continue? What are your plans for the future?
Well, I'm just...
Socially?
Yes, socially, I will still enjoy what I'm doing now, because I love all of it. The other day, my sister-in-law was talking about this friend of hers whose husband is very domineering. She says, oh, I couldn't live with him. She said, they both need their own space. And it happens to be my sister-in-law who was talking. And I said, well, you know that I give your brother plenty of space because I'm never home because I'm out all the time. You know, in a fortnight, I might be home actually one day. I'm out.
About what your fortnight, just what does it entail now, just briefly?
Mondays is craft day. Then I was doing a self-defence course on a Monday afternoon for 6 weeks, which we got a nice certificate for. So if anybody comes near me, I know how to bop them, you know. But it made you aware of things you can do in, you know, self-defence sort of thing. Tuesdays I'm normally home, but then again, if it's somebody's birthday that belongs to the walking club or the craft club, we might go out for lunch. Wednesday's the walking club. Thursdays, if I have to do business or something like that, it's usually Thursdays. And Fridays, I go to bingo.
I'm not as busy as Margaret. Not like that. Mondays, I mind my grandson. Tuesdays, I go to Weight Watchers and then I go to a movie. Wednesdays, I mind my grandchild. Thursdays, well, sometimes I mind my grandchild if my daughter's working. Sometimes we go out and we do a bit of shopping. Fridays, usually clean up the house day. And Saturdays, maybe just pottering around or maybe go and see another movie. And Sundays, just a leisure day.
So how do you separately survive financially these days?
Well, I have a small pension coming in from superannuation. Plus I have like a pension, part pension from the DSS. I live beyond my means, I can tell you now. But
so do we, and the bank balance is going down, down, down. But my husband, when he was retrenched, he's money virtually bought the house. So it was a big decision what we would do. So we bought the house because we thought we can a roof over our head for the rest of our lives. And then we had a back veranda put on and we had a new kitchen.
My name is Jean Dees and today is the 26th of June 1998. And this is my second little lot with Therese. And I don't know what she's going to ask me today, but we'll soon find out.
So we're at your house today?
Yes.
What was it like, because you're back onto Banks Road here in Busby. Can you talk to me about when you arrived, because it was all grass over there now.
It was all bush.
What was your first impressions of that vision when you arrived?
Well, I was just so elated at having a house, I didn't really pay too much attention to the surroundings. But it was nice and there was a lot of birds around and it was a nice area, I thought, you know, and it was clean air and everything. Because we had lived temporarily at Chippendale. I really liked the place and I still do. I still think it's a nice place, yes.
So there was a dairy farm over on Banks Road?
There was, about halfway down Banks Road, there was a dairy farm there.
Do you remember the name of the dairy farm?
No, I don't. I'm sorry. It's too long ago.
Could you describe it for me?
Well, it was just, I think there was just a house there and a few sheds out the back and the people used to just, you used to have to take your container down there to get the milk. And they filled it up for you, and look, it was quite inexpensive at the time, and it was nice, yes.
How long did you do that? Was that every day?
Like a couple of days a week sort of thing, mostly the weekends sort of thing, when the shops used to be shut at the weekends. And the kids used to like going down there. And there was another one up the top there, he used to sell tomatoes. And like the kids used to like going up there to get some tomatoes as well. Yeah, it was good.
How big was the dairy?
Well, the house and the immediate grounds wasn't very big, but I don't know how far it extended from there.
Were there a lot of cows?
I don't remember.
It's okay.
Yes.
Do you remember how much you paid for the milk?
Oh, goodness, it wasn't very much. It was cheaper than the bottled milk anyway. And it was always warm when you got it, so it was good.
What time in the morning did you?
Well, we used to go early in the morning just before breakfast, sort of thing. It was good.
How long did you do that for?
Oh, probably not long, because I don't think it was terribly long when that all closed. I think all that land was sold down that area, and the dairy closed a long time ago. But,
because it was very green over there.
Very green. Mm. I think even this, where the houses are, I think there used to be all dairy land as well. You know, all this area was dairies. So, you know, there must have been a lot of farms and everything around this area. Because, the ground was clay, but it wasn't too bad, you know, sort of thing. Like for your gardening and everything.
What sort of things did your kids do to keep themselves amused?
Well, my son started school up here when we moved up, and it wasn't long after that he started doing soccer, and he did that. He was in the under fives when he started playing soccer, and he was there till he was in the under twelves, sort of thing, till he went to high school, sort of thing.
And when did he get his mini bike?
The
mini bike riding over there.
Yes, he would have been about 10, I think, I would say. And like he and his friends used to go across to the bush, you know, because there was little tracks around there and everything. And he used to, they used to go over there and ride the mini bikes all around and the tracks and everything. There was sometimes, like you'd hear somebody had an accident because somebody had strung wire between trees across the tracks. So I always told him to be careful. So, But he never, he had an accident. He ran into a tree, I think. Skinned his knee, I think he did. But that was about it, you know.
And your daughter?
My daughter, she was never, like when she started school, she was never into the sports like netball, like a lot of the children are. She'd never liked that sort of thing. But, you know, she just went to school. And that was it, so I think she never got involved in any of the sports or
was
dancing.
She shy, was she?
Yes, I think so. Yes. Yeah. And when she got to high school, she couldn't wait to leave because she used to get bullied a bit. I didn't know until after she left school. But the day she turned 15, that was it. She wasn't going back. So, but anyway.
So you live here by yourself now. How long have you
yes,
lived
I do.
Here by yourself?
Well, I've been on my own for 23 years.
So you, did you divorce your husband?
Not at the time. Like, we were separated for a long time, and then he rang me up one day, said he wanted a divorce, and I said, fine, go ahead. And, I mean, we're still friends. I mean, I ring him up occasionally if I have something to tell him or something like that. And it was quite amicable, actually. So
when did that occur?
Well, my son was 14 and my daughter was 10, so that was 23 years ago.
What was the experience then of a single mother to some extent?
Well, it was difficult. It was difficult in that, like, I had to start learning to do things that I didn't know how to do, like fixing light plugs and things like that, and fixing door handles and all that sort of stuff, you know, and putting tiles on the floor and painting the inside the house and all that sort of stuff. I mean, I had to learn it all by myself, but I got there. You do manage. You put your mind to it. So,
did you feel isolated?
No, not at all, because we were all friends, all the neighbours. We had really good friends, especially one two doors up from me. I don't know what I would have done without her. She was very good. She still is.
So what did you do socially for yourself?
Socially?
Over that initial period of time?
Not very much at all. Not very much. Like, I very rarely went out anywhere. I socialised with the people at work sometimes as a group. You know, I used to work down at the post office, as you know. But that was the only socialising I ever did. I didn't go anywhere. I mean, I couldn't always take the kids anywhere because I couldn't afford it, mostly. So we just, I just didn't go anywhere. The kids sometimes used to go some different place. As I said, my son used to play soccer, and like, he trained 3 days, 3 nights a week, and played on the weekends. So, I mean, his life was full. But Linda was quite happy to potter around and just play with her girlfriends from school and all that sort of thing. I am now, yes. I belong to the Catholic Club and Mount Pritchard and the John Edinson RSL Club in Liverpool. But the one I go to mostly is Liverpool Catholic Club, and I belong to the 50-plus club that's within that club. So that's the only one I usually frequent. I go up to Mount Pritchard and pay my fees once a year, but that's about the only time I ever see it. Same with John Anderson. Sometimes we might drop in there for lunch if we're in Liverpool, my daughter and I. So
when did you join the membership up with those clubs?
Quite a long time ago. I don't remember. But I think 84, I think, was my membership for the first time I joined the Catholic Club. And I don't know when I joined Mount Pritchard. And it's only 2 or 3 years ago since I joined the RSL Club.
Did you used to shop down at Miller?
Oh, yes, still do. Yeah, but I also shop up at Hinchinbrook now since that centre's been built up there.
How was it like in the early days down at the shopping centre?
It was good, yes. I mean, it was such a boon because There used to be a small shopping centre at Heckenberg, one at Ashcroft, one at Cartwright, one at Sadlier, but there was never any at Busby. So, like, most people had to go down to Miller to shop, but it was good because it was bigger than the others, because Woolworths and Franklin's were always there, or I think it used to be Fleming's at, in the original thing, you know. And it sort of has grown, but I mean, I hope it stays that way. Yeah, it's good.
Do you have any memories down? The shops used to be a meeting point for a lot of...
Yes, not for me really.
Yeah.
I just did my shopping there and... Well, I was down that way every day because I worked down there.
That's true.
Sort of thing. And I used to just shop, you know, while I was at work and then come home, sort of thing. And it was, my hours were good because I was always here for when my children came home from school. So that was good too.
How did you feel when you retired?
When I retired, I was so happy to retire. And I had all these wonderful plans, but then my daughter announced she was pregnant, so I had my little grandson. I mean, I love him dearly, and I wouldn't trade him for anything, but, you know, all the plans I had for retirement, yeah, have gone astray.
Where does your daughter live now?
She lives at Lernia.
And how often do you see her?
Oh, find my grandson when she's has to work. She's on casual hours. And I do mind. He only goes to daycare 2 days a week, but on the other days I mind him.
It's quite a hike from here to Miller's Shops.
It's not too bad. It's not too bad.
We'll edit that out because that's not right, is it?
Yeah, it's not that bad. I rather enjoy walking, and I walk up to Hinchinbrook. The only thing, if I've got my grandson with a pram and the shopping, pushing the pram with him in it back up the hill, that's the only hard part. You know, because he's quite heavy now because he's 3. But he won't walk the distance there and back, so I have to keep the stroller, so anything.
Does that bring back fond memories for you?
Yes, we used to. Yes, we used to, like, take the kids down to Miller, you know, in the prams and everything. Because my daughter was only, I think she was only about 10 months old when we moved here, you know, and... And my son started school, and see, my neighbours and I used to walk down with the prams and do our shopping and come back home and everything.
Were there footpaths then?
No, there weren't.
So did you wheel them on the road? On
the road, yeah, just into the side of the road. Yeah. Yes. But there wasn't even as much traffic then as there is now. Yeah. It's incredible, the difference.
Did you often see a stream of strollers going to the shops?
Oh, yes.
Can you describe a bit of that for me?
Yes. Well, you know, there'd be mothers with little children everywhere because that's who was moving into the area. You know, it was just young families. And, like, I think everybody who moved into this street had young children, like either school age or under, you know. And, like, everybody would be, well, except those who used to drive. I mean, not everybody used to drive. And there'd be a stream of mothers with toddlers or little children in prams and whatever. Yes.
Walking down the hill? Or?
Yes, down and back and, you know, that's it was good. You know, because it was a very friendly place, I thought. Yeah. Like everybody sort of got to know each other, you know, just by looking, you know, like you wouldn't never know the names, but you'd know them by sight, sort of thing, and say hi, you know. It was good.
Were you a Catholic?
No, I was born and brought up a Catholic, but I married in a Protestant church, so automatically excommunicated, so I believe so. But I was, you know, I wasn't much of a practicing Catholic anyway.
And were your children members of any Scouts or Cubs or anything?
No, nothing like that. They just, like I said, my son used to play soccer for Mount Busby, and my daughter never joined anything.
We might talk a little bit more about the post office.
Yes.
You've got some photos here
Yes.
This one here. Can you tell me who's it? Who yes. Describe that photo and maybe tell me a bit about that day.
Yeah, well, this is one of the picnic days. Each year we had a picnic day through the Postal Institute, and they always had the picnic days at Warwick Farm Racecourse. There was no races on, of course. And all the postmen and their wives and their children used to go. And the children used to get a present from Santa Claus, like it was on the Christmas time. And here on this photo, there's Norm and Kath Sterling and my ex-husband and Ron Shooter and his wife, Doris. And looks like Bill Rayner and his wife, Bertha. And I can't see who that is. And like all the little children. Mm. Yes. But it was good because the children used to run races and do all that sort of thing. And they'd get their special bag with all the goodies in it and all that sort of thing. And they'd get their present from Santa Claus. And it was a good day. And everybody liked going to that because everybody got on well together.
When was this? What year?
Well,
around, do you know?
Looks like my daughter was about four years old there or something, so what would that be, 64, 65, 66, about 68, around about 68, I would say.
And would you just take picnic lunches or have a barbecue? Or
no, the lunches were supplied sort of thing. Yeah, it was good. Yeah, they'd put on different things, you know.
You didn't get bored with each other socialising?
No, everybody was really friendly. And, yeah, never. Like my husband and a couple of the others used to go drinking together and things like that. Ron Shooter, he worked at Hurstville, and my husband worked at Hurstville Post Office before we all moved here. And that they knew each other then, and the others came from other areas sort of thing and started work at... They started at Liverpool before the post office was built here, and they were in the process of building it anyway. And we all came together. There were six postmen all together, and it was good. Everybody was friendly, and they had two deliveries. I think we told you that before. Yes, yes, it was good.
And, I mean, can I just get back to food a bit? Like, what did you used to feed your kids in those days?
Oh, my goodness, you're straining the memory now.
The theme of sausage mince comes up a bit.
Oh, well, I wouldn't have had that because I don't like sausage mince. I used to make stews and casseroles. And, see, we didn't have all the I used to boil a chicken up sometimes. When my culinary expertise is a little better than it used to be because I wasn't very good at cooking. I still am not. I mean, I'll try things, but, like, I'm not that good at it. But, you know, like, we just have basic sort of meals, you know, meat, potatoes and vegetables sort of thing, you know. None of these fancy things that they have now, you know. And... it was mainly stews and probably a fried steak or grilled steak or something like that. And, you know, like on the odd occasion, we'd have a bit of fish with chips or something like that. But it's...
what are some of these photos here you've got?
These ones here? I'll just show you.
So we've got the under-12... the Mount Busby United soccer team.
Yes, yes.
Can you maybe go through this?
Well, the coach was Kevin Cantrell, and the manager was his wife, Myra Cantrell. And I still send Christmas cards to these people, and they send Christmas cards to me. I'm not very good at remembering the boys' names.
That's okay.
Not very good at that at all.
Okay, so here's the presentation day 1971.
Mm.
And it's the same coach and...
Yes, the same coach, yes. And I forget what his name was.
Oliveri.
Yes, Oliveri doing the presentation.
That was the presentation day.
Yes. Yeah. And that was the school one. That was Busby School.
So can you describe their coloured uniforms?
Yes, then? They're brown and yellow. They're at Busby West. Their colours are brown and yellow.
So the uniform. Do you know these people?
There'd be teachers. No, I don't remember. Oh, Christmas is.
Where is this photo taken?
That looks like Grace Brothers.
So not locally.
Some of them might have been. I was going to.
That's on.
This is on the boat coming out.
Okay. Yes. So what year did you?
Well, we left on the 30th of March 1959. We left Southampton and we arrived in Sydney on the 2nd of May 1959. And these are on the boat coming out here. I was sick nearly all the way over here.
How long did the trip take?
4 weeks and 2 days, I think.
And where did you live when you arrived?
My husband had. His brother had lived here, and he had lined up a job at Tuss Brewery. And there was a couple who used to live in Irvine Street in Chippendale, just behind the brewery. And they were giving us a room for about 6 weeks, I think it was, till my brother-in-law had finalised buying a house in Hurstville. And that's what we did. We lived there, and my husband started. I think we arrived on a Saturday, and he started work on the Tuesday at the brewery beside his brother. So that was good. We were supposed to go to Walgrove Hostel, but we didn't, thank goodness. We drove up there one day to have a look, and it would have cost us $9.50 each, and that would have been a lot of money. Per week, you know, because we didn't have much money when we arrived. I think we had £64 in the bank. It would have cost £9.50, sorry, I'm talking in dollars. But, yes.
What were your initial impressions of arriving here?
Well, I stepped off the boat and I was sick. I threw I think it wasn't all seasickness. I think a lot of it was due to the fact that I was pregnant on the way over. So.
And in terms of the weather, how did you?
The weather? Well, it wasn't too bad in May because it wasn't all that hot. It was sort of getting cooler because it was getting into the thing. But my first summer here, it was so hot. And of course, we didn't have air conditioning or things like that. It was just so hot. And I had this young baby, you know, after the end of October, and it was a very, very hot summer. And I kept sponging him down with cold water. That was our arrival on the boat, that photo. We just got on the boat and he was looking at our tickets and everything.
So. How did you find immigration?
All right, yeah. I didn't. My husband sort of did all the paperwork and everything. I didn't.
And was he in the... was him in uniform?
He joined the CMF.
What's that?
The what do you call it? Just part-time...
Oh, yeah, okay.
Military sort of thing, I forget what it's.
Reserves.
That's right, yes.
And was he a golfer?
Oh, yes, he liked to play golf.
And what, oh, this is on the boat before you
left
home?
That was before we left home, yes. That's here.
How long did it take you to get the garden established?
Oh, ages, as you can see there. Look, it's just nothing in it. Look, it took me a while. And my husband wasn't much of a gardener either, so...
Did you have a car when you arrived?
My husband didn't get a license until... I think it was the day my son was born. on the 31st of October, 59. And he hired a car. We didn't have a car then. He hired a car to come and pick me up and bring me home, because my son was born at King George the Fifth in Camperdown. And hailstones, yeah, all over the yard. Yes. But he got his license there, and like it wasn't long after that he started buying cars. I don't know how many cars he bought. Used to buy really old ones and then buy one slightly newer each year. I used to complain that I was working just to buy cars. But still, that was the way it was. Yeah.
So you had cars in the yard?
Yes, yes, yeah.
What was the most you had at any one time?
Oh, only one car at a time, because he'd get rid of the old one. And the first one we had was a Ford Tourer, like a red car with soft top. And I remember when he brought it home and I looked out the window and I thought, oh, my God. And it was dreadful. Like, it was about 20 years old at the time, you know, and the car was. And, like, we used to go to drive-ins and, like, it'd break down and I'd end up pushing it out the drive-in, things like that. Oh, they were terrible. But, you know, we were young.
Was that here?
No, well, not really. It was from Hurstville sort of thing, you know, when we lived there. Because we lived there for about 4.5, 5 years before we came up here. But it was... You know, you just took everything in your stride then, you know.
Yes. Were cars do then?
Well, I don't think so. Like I said, the cars he bought, like the first one was about 20 years old, and then the next one he'd buy the following year would be about 18 years old. And like he'd get a newer one each year sort of thing, you know. And we had a multitude of cars sort of thing, one year or another. And then... His main ambition was to buy a brand new car with cash, and he did. He did eventually. It was a little Datsun. But, and then that was when we were up here, and I wanted to learn to drive, but it wasn't successful because he used to scream at me, because, why did you do that? Why did you do this? But I should have got proper lessons, and I would have been able to drive, but I didn't. So, but anyway... I'm quite happy. I'm quite happy with public transport. It's good. So, what else would you like to know?
Yeah,
I suppose. But like the cars are so. The first one, as I said, was a Ford. I think it was a Ford Anglia Tourer. It was red with a bony, fawny coloured soft top, and it used to be so cold in the winter time. And then the next one was another soft top. It was a Morris, I think. Then we had a little Fiat, a Renault. You name it, we had it.
Was he good with cars? Did he know what he was doing?
Yes, yes. Yes, he did. He was. Like, he didn't... he fiddled a lot. Like, he'd be able to fix different things, but he wasn't really into the mechanics sort of thing. He just liked to drive, you know. And he liked to have means of transport sort of thing. So, but like once he sort of got on it, he did one time buy one of those P76s. You know, they were a bit of a disaster. But I didn't like it in the first place. Like I didn't like the sound of it. But, and then the lock fell out of the boot. And I think the window on the passenger's, you know, side door, it fell out and things like that, you know, they weren't really a good car sort of thing. But however, but we did have some nice cars. We had an Austin that was very comfortable. It was a nice car. We drove up to Queensland in that. Yeah, and it was quite comfortable. But we just had my son at that time. We didn't have Linda at that time. But it was good. Yeah, well, I mean, I enjoyed getting driven around too, you know, at the time. It was good with the children in the car, you know, sort of thing as well. But, oh goodness, those days are long gone now. But things are so different. Yeah.
Did he spend a lot of time on the weekend? Did he work on them a lot? Or?
Not really. Like I said, he wasn't really into the mechanics of it. If it was anything that was sort of bothering him with the car, he'd sort of tinker around with it to fix it. But
do you remember a mechanic he used to go to?
No, I don't. Yeah. But like the cars did get better, as I said. Like it was always a newer one each year when you buy one, and we had some nice cars. The 63 Holden was a nice car. It was good. And he had a black Ford Anglia, like sedan, and it was a nice car too. But the Austin, I remember, was very comfortable, and that was the one we drove up to Queensland, and that was good. But I don't know what he's got now.